Hi, this is Steve Chandler, and welcome to a recording called Choosing. I wanted to talk today about what I see as the most profound shift in people when I coach them. It's also the most profound shift in me when I work with myself, which is almost always the case. Things that work on me work on my clients and vice versa. So a lot of you will be listening to me for the first time and you'll be thinking, what do you mean by coach? What do you mean by coaching people? What is a coach? Well, in my work, I call myself a success coach. And I coach groups and I coach individuals, and whatever it is they want to succeed at, we work on. And I might coach a sales team or a leadership team or an entire company in large groups or individuals one at a time. What do you want to succeed at? Where would you like your performance to improve? How would you like your productivity to go up? Now notice that this is measurable result productivity type coaching. This is not therapy, and I am not a spirit guide or anything like that. There are a lot of things that are coached by people called life coaches that get into really wide spectrums of spirituality and past memories being healed, and I don't work with that. I like to work with people's potential, and I like to create their future based on how they might perform at a higher level. Now, in my work, over the years, working with myself and working with other people, I have found that there's one shift inside the mind that's more profound than any other. And this shift, when people make it, when they see it, when they can really see it clearly, sends them into a future that has much higher performance. They start getting what they want, and it works in any field where they would like to have greater productivity, greater results. Weight loss, it can be sales, it can be income, it can be relationships, anything they want to go out, seek, find, bring into their lives, and then measure the result. I've talked about mind shifts before on other recordings and in person, and there are a number of them that help people a great deal to come out of being stuck and to come out of their passivity and really start to get into action and get the outcomes they want in life. But this one shift that I'm going to talk about today is the most profound. It's the one that when people see it, the results happen the fastest. So I'm going to describe this shift right now. In order to see this shift clearly, let's start with where people need to shift from. Where are they stuck? What keeps them from achieving what they want to achieve? What's the mindset? Where does the mind need to shift from? And I call this the problem with knowing. It's the idea that I need to know something before I can take action. And here's how it shows up. I'm talking to a client, and the client says, I don't know how to, or I don't know what to do. I want to do this, but I don't know how to do it. It also shows up this way. I would like to reach out and connect with people and let them know about my service, but I don't know who to call. So those are the three ways this dysfunction shows up. A, I don't know how to. B, I don't know what to. C, I don't know who to. Let's start with I don't know how to. People say, I would do that, but I don't know how to. I would make these calls, but I don't know how to make cold calls in a graceful way. I would reach out and I would find people who might have an interest in my service or product, but I don't know how to find them. I would patent my inventions, but I don't know how. I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to do that. Well, there's no longer any truth to that, because if you simply go on Google and you type in how to and then fill in the blank, you'll get so many articles in so many interviews and so many interesting pages of advice after advice, most of which is very, very good and very useful. You could get into action right away. And so, I don't know how to. Whenever I see that or hear that from my client, I know it's simply not true that you don't know how to. Here's what's missing. You have not chosen to. And that's the whole point here. And that's the major mind shift. It's a shift from knowing to choosing. What the person who is not performing or not producing is not doing is that person is not choosing. Let me tell you where I first saw this most clearly. I was in a mastermind group, and I had brought in my good friend Lindsay Brady. Lindsay is a hypnotherapist and a very profound philosopher and understands the interplay between the brain and the mind better than just about anyone in the world. I've had Lindsay come in to talk to a number of my groups, and he was talking to a mastermind group of mine one day, and one of the young people in the group raised his hand, and Lindsay had just done a really great presentation on how the mind works, and he'd done a demonstration. And this young man raised his hand and said, "I am so confused. I don't know what to do with my future. I have a feeling that you could really help me. I really have a sense that you know how I can make my decision. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to decide. I've got this opportunity and that." And he explained a few options he had and a few places he could go and things he could do, but he didn't know how to make the right decision, and he didn't know what to do. At least that's what he was telling Lindsay at the time. "I don't know what to do." Remember, there's a real red flag here. Listen for it. I don't know how to choose. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to. I don't know who to call. Listen for those. Listen for them in yourself. When you tell yourself, "I don't know how to, I don't know what to, I don't know who to," notice that you're not telling yourself the truth and you're keeping yourself stuck. So this person tried to tell Lindsay that he didn't know how to decide, didn't know what to do. "What should I do?" And Lindsay stared at him for a second and he said one word. He said, "Choose." Now that was very profound because the room grew silent. And the person who was asking Lindsay just stared at him like a deer in the headlights. And then he got a big smile on his face because he could really see it. That's it. That's what I haven't done. And what I found out since that moment, when I started to see it for myself, in my own life, and in the lives of my clients, is that people aren't choosing. And they're stuck and they're wavering between not knowing what to do, not knowing who to call, and not knowing how to do something. And they're simply not choosing. I was working with a very brilliant woman who had a tremendous business and wonderful employees and a great service she was presenting to the world, but the business itself was losing a little money every month, and she didn't know how or why, she said, and she hired me to coach her, and she said, I know how to do what I do, but I don't know how to run a business. And fortunately, I had received this distinction called choosing by that time, so I was able to say, no, that's not really true. It's not that you don't know how to run a business. You have not chosen to run a business. That's all there is. And by the way, that's good news. See, it's not a way to shame someone. This is not a way to shame someone into thinking, oh, look what I do. I trap myself. I keep myself stuck by lying to myself and pretending I'm impotent and powerless. That's not what this is about. This is about freedom. This is about finding the freedom in choosing, because it's action. Even if you make the wrong choice, you're better off, because there's no such thing as the wrong choice. You're better off. So she saw, I have not chosen to acquire and use the knowledge necessary to run my own business well. I've chosen not to. I've chosen out. I've opted out. And when she saw that, it was like, oh, yeah, you're right. I've never wanted to do that. I've always hoped someone else could do that for me. Well, that's a possibility if you found the right person. What she could now see was, there wasn't this lack of knowledge she thought she had. And that's where people go wrong. They walk around and they say to themselves, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. And it's infantile. It's really right out of powerless childhood that we go to that. We play that card with ourselves even. That's the worst thing. Walking around thinking, I don't know how to do this, I don't know who to call about that, and I don't know what to do. walking around thinking that and believing those thoughts is really horrible, tragic. It keeps us out of life, and it keeps us away from success. We're simply not choosing. And worse than that, we're not seeing the choice that's always there. We're not seeing it. So we talk ourselves into this childlike state. Now notice my little girl is in her room, and I walk in and say, all right, time to clean your room. Room needs to be cleaned before dinner. And she says, I don't know how. I don't know where to put the books. The bookshelf, look, Daddy, the bookshelf is, it's all filled up. I don't know where to put the books. I don't know where the clothes, I don't know which of these clothes are dirty. I don't know where to, And it's a childlike thing to say, I don't know how, I don't know what to do, I don't know who to call. It is dropping down the evolutionary ladder. It's dropping down the maturity ladder. It's dropping down the consciousness ladder, down to the lowest level of helplessness. Helpless? I'm helpless in the face of this. Nathaniel Brandon, the great psychologist, once said, suffering is the easiest thing human beings do. It's the easiest place to go. I'm suffering. I'm suffering from my lack of knowledge. I'm really suffering. I don't know what to do. I get emails all the time. I need you to coach me. I don't know what to do. I need you to coach me. I don't know how to get clients. I need you to coach me. I don't know how to succeed. I don't know how to be happy. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to make my business work. And that, by the way, is never, ever true. This person is simply not choosing something. And if I do end up working with them, we move out of the I don't know how, we move out of this false knowledge problem, and we move into the freedom and the power of choosing. I recently had the great pleasure of putting on a program with Michael Neal, who's an author and a coach, and most people know about Michael Neal. He's got a radio show, very powerful individual, who has written a wonderful book called Supercoach. If you have not read that book, please get it. Supercoach by Michael Neal. Michael and I put on a seminar for people, and the seminar, or the program, was called Financially Fearless. And we had about 25 people in the room one day, and these are people in various stages of building up a new business or starting a new career or working on being a consultant or having a service they want to offer to the world or a product they want to sell and wondering how to do it in a way that would be fearless and it would get over their money issues and they wouldn't be afraid to ask for money, they wouldn't be afraid to sell, they wouldn't be afraid to call people, and it would become a joyful exercise. A really fun thing, that creating wealth would be as artful and creative as any other fun hobby they would have. That was the whole point of coming together, to master that and learn it. Well, it was very interesting. In the very first weekend, Michael put together an exercise for everyone in the room that was fascinating. Everyone came back from lunch and all sitting down, and Michael said, all right, everyone's here. Here's what I would like you to do. Everyone in the room has 1 hour to get up, go out, leave the room, and we were staying at a nice resort in Scottsdale. Get up, leave the room, go out into the world, go to your hotel room, go anywhere you like, call anyone you want, talk to anyone in the lobby, do anything, walk across the street, talk to businesses, you can do anything you want. But in the next hour, your assignment is to make money. In the next hour, you will spend every moment doing whatever you can to make money. Make as much money as you can, doing whatever you like, and when you come back an hour from now, one at a time, we will put your total up on the board, how much you made, 10 cents or whatever, and we'll talk about it. What was the experience like for you? What did you do? What did you think to do? And then we'll move on to the next person, until we've had feedback from everybody and we find out what the total is of everyone who went out. Only 1 hour, make it count. Well, you should have seen some of the faces in the room. Some of the faces were kind of going pale or going wide-eyed or looking scared, and other people looked eager. It was really an emotional moment as people got up. Many people were taking very deep breaths, going out into the world, having no idea what to do. Notice that. Not knowing who to call, not knowing how to make money in 1 hour. By the way, this was a Saturday, so here they're doing it on a Saturday. Some of the people in the room, actually a fairly good percent, were from other places in the world. Australia, England, Scotland. And so the time factor was big. They couldn't call people, clients, on a Saturday without rousing them up very late at night. So there was a big challenge here. People went out. Michael and I sat together in a quiet room, and we talked about many things. And an hour later, everyone came back into the room. It was amazing to see the energy, see the looks in their eyes. This was a completely different group of people coming back in an hour later than went out. I mean, just totally different. Different energy, different spirit, different mood. Really remarkable. People sat down, and one at a time, we talked to each of them, and we wrote on the whiteboard their name and how much money they made. Some people came back with really rather remarkable stories about people they met out in the resort and sat with and talked to and consulted with and coached, and those people offered them money for it. One woman here from Scotland, just starting a coaching practice, not really having anyone to call in her mind, couldn't think of anything. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make money. What should I do? And then all of a sudden, she realized that she could choose something. And in fact, she had to choose something. So she decided to sing for people. She'd go in the lobby and say, I would like to sing you a song. And if you like it, you can pay me $2. And she had a beautiful voice. And soon people were gathered around listening to her, reaching in their pockets, paying her money. She made more money than she ever dreamed she could in an hour. So what was the total? People came back. One person made $1,000 calling someone and getting a commitment for this. Another person made that. Grand total, with about, I'd say, 25 people, $86,000. $86,000 in 1 hour. How would you like to have a company where you could send people out for an hour and they'd come back with $86,000? That would be a very good company. So what happened? People surprised themselves. They had no idea that what they found out there when they started getting on the phone, making requests, making an offer, making a proposal, making a request, getting a commitment, they had no idea that that money was out there waiting for them. They had no idea. And look at the profound primary shift that occurred. They went from, I don't know how to make money, I don't know who to call, I don't know what to do, to, I must choose something. In other words, the people were in the mindset of, I'm going to come back into the room and report in front of everyone what I did in my hour. I'm going to choose something to do. I will choose something. And people began writing down names of people they could call. One person had a prospect who had been on the fence for a year and a half, not knowing whether to work with him or not, and just can't decide. And he called that person and said, you know what, this is it. This conversation will have you either be working with me or not, and we'll be done with each other. And he had this wonderful, powerful conversation and got a very large contract from this person. So it's choosing that works. And what happened for these people is they chose something, and then they got active in it. Now, it might have even been the wrong choice. In other words, this idea called the wrong choice or a bad decision, that's what stops everybody. Well, what if I make a bad decision? What if I do the wrong thing? What if I don't call the right people today? Is this the right person to call? Is this the right proposal to make? Is this the right service to offer? And people get so hung up and what would be the right thing? And then they tell themselves, well, I don't know. I don't know what would be the right thing to do. I don't know how to decide. I don't know how to know. I don't know. It's not just that I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to know what to do. That stops people. Can you see where that stops people? One thing that I love to use as a way to free people up from this self-mystification, this mister that they put above themselves to fog themselves over, this Valium mister that they place in their mind so that they end up not doing anything today, and then they tell themselves, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know who to call. All those lies that we tell ourselves, we really aren't telling the truth. The truth is, choose. I chose not to make a call. I chose not to choose someone to call. I chose not to choose. That's the real truth. Now, the beauty in that is not like self-shame or look at me, look what I'm doing to myself, I'm lying to myself to keep myself out of action. No, the beauty is, wow, that's sitting right there. That thing called choosing is there. It's there for me. It's like a tool. It's like, hand me that sword. I'm now ready for this home invasion of negative thinking. Hand me my flamethrower. Hand me my machine gun. I'm ready now. Bring it on. Choosing. Choosing is as powerful as a flamethrower, a machine gun, a large sword, whatever you want, can of wasp spray, whatever you want to take out this thing called passivity, lethargy, fear, inactivity, whatever you call it, all covered up with the I don't know lie. I don't know. I don't have the right knowledge. I don't have enough knowledge. I need to go to 11 more seminars. I need to read 30 more books before I do this. Well, no. Just choose. When people are choosing, it gets very, very powerful for them because they are no longer self-medicating with the I don't knows. They're no longer running that story past themselves. You hear this everywhere. People say, oh, you know, we wanted to go on a vacation, but we didn't know where to go, so we didn't go. We couldn't decide how to choose where to go, so we didn't go on a vacation. We just sat here. Yeah, we watched the Home Shopping Network, and that was it. We didn't go on. We didn't know where to go. We didn't know how to choose. How do you choose? How do you know it's the right choice? How do you know there couldn't have been a better place to go? See? So we didn't go. One thing I like to use to move people from being stuck with the problem of not knowing into choosing, which is where all the action is, it's where all the fun is, it's just choose some partner. If you're going to dance, I don't know who to dance with. You're at the high school dance, everybody's milling around. I feel like dancing, but I don't know who to dance with. Choose someone, and then you'll be dancing. So, what I like to use is what I call the million dollar question. Well, let's relate it back to the little girl in her room, and she's sitting there, and the father, let's say it's me, is saying, okay, clean your room now before dinner. I don't know where to put the books. The bookshelf is full. I don't know how to pick up the clothes. I don't know which clothes are dirty. I don't know where to put it. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. So that's infantile. Whenever you catch yourself saying and thinking those things, it's infantile. So I say to my daughter, I will give you $1 million if you clean your room. I come back 30 minutes later. Dad, it's clean. I put the books here. There wasn't enough room in the bookshelf, so I made a little shelf over here. They're here. The clothes I sorted out, I decided how to figure out which ones were dirty, and I hung these ones up because I know they're clean. And this is here. Look at my room. Isn't it beautiful? And I'm looking, and it's a beautiful room. It looks amazing. If I have a client who says, I really want to go into that market. I want to go into that city. I want to introduce myself. I want to go in and travel there and talk to some people about what I offer, but I don't know who to call. I say to my client, what if I told you I would give you $1 million if I left the room for an hour and came back and you had 20 good people to call listed. You can go on the internet, you can use the telephone, but I want you to come up with 20 really good people to call and talk to that you know would be great people to call, that you know would be a wonderful start for you. I'll give you $1 million if you do it. Would you do it? And the answer is always yes. And they can see right away, yeah, I'd come up with 20 good people, and then I could call them, and then from there I'd find more people, and everything, the ball would be rolling, everything would be on its way. So people are stuck in not choosing. People are stuck in thinking they don't know how to do something. And believe me, I hear it all the time. People contact me and say, well, because of the recession, my company downsized, and we are now out of work here in this family, both my wife and I, and we don't know what to do. Really? We don't know how to find jobs. We don't know how to do that. We haven't looked for a job in years and years, and we don't know who to call, and we don't know how to begin. We don't know how to start. We thought maybe you could help us and you could coach us, because we don't know what to do. We don't know who to call, and we don't know how to begin. And so I realize when I do talk to them, if I do, that if your life depended on it, or if I told you both that I would give you each $1 million, if by the end of this week you had a job, would you take me up on it? Yes, of course. Yes, absolutely. Do you think you'd get a job? Actually, yes, of course. Yeah, I'd get a job. For $1 million, well, yeah. You really serious? $1 million? Yes. I'd have a good job. I would have a really good job for $1 million. If it was for $1 million, yes, I'd get a job. Okay, great. What they see when I pose the $1 million question is that when their conscience is elevated and it gets out of that low evolutionary slime, that swamp that these reptilian creatures crawl out of, and inside that swamp, that lizard brain, that reptilian brain at the base of the skull, where fight or flight, all fear lives down there. We're not using our whole brain. We're not using the neocortex. We're just stuck. We're stuck. We're in the swamp, primordial. And if I can dangle $1 million in front of someone, they wake up and they see I can shoot up the evolutionary ladder for $1 million, and I would start choosing. I'd choose places to go. Would I know who to ask for a job? Would I know where to go? No, but I would start choosing. I would choose. A final point. Lindsey Brady told me a story a long time ago about when he knew it was time for him to find a career to have, a job to do for the rest of his life. He didn't know what he wanted to do, but he did know about the power of choice. So instead of being lost and stuck forever, I mean, I have people in their 50s and 60s who tell me, I still don't know what I want to do. Now, Lindsey was in that place, and he said, I don't know what I want to do, but I do know about choosing. I do know about the power of choosing, and I know that it's always an option, and that it's always powerful, and that it always works. So he asked himself, how can I most effectively choose right now? He grabbed the yellow pages. He decided and realized that in the yellow pages, all possible jobs are listed. Psychologist, librarian, any job, policeman, everything is in there. Police academy, everything is in there. And so he decided, I will go through the yellow pages and I will look at everything in there and I will circle the things that call to me that look like great jobs, fun things to do. And then of those I have circled, I will, do you know what word I'm about to use? Of those I have circled, I will, I bet everyone listening can shout the word out. Of those I have circled, I will choose one and get into it. Get into action. See, that's what choosing does. It moves you from the stagnation of the swamp into action. So he went through, he circled things. Beekeeper, pilot of a private plane, hypnotherapist. Boy, that really was curious to him. What is that? I've read a book on self-hypnosis. I wonder if I could teach hypnosis to others. That would really be fun. Because Lindsay had used self-hypnosis to help him with some matters. What if he could be a hypnotherapist? That was right there in the yellow pages. He circled it, went to the proper training, and became one of the nation's foremost best-known hypnotherapists. In the whole United States, he addresses conventions. He chose, by the way, he's also on the side, been a beekeeper, and he flies planes. From choosing, not from knowing, not from knowing what he wanted to do, from choosing.